Present.
Member Barnidge. Member Talley.
Here.
Member Gibson.
Here.
Member Rushing.
Here.
Member Riley. Member Guthrie.
Here.
All right, and with that, we'll open it up to public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the committee on items that are not on the agenda. All right, it looks like we don't have any public comment. With that, we've received the meeting minutes for the July 18th, 2024 meeting. I'm assuming we can dispense with a reading of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
All right. Member Rushing, is there a second?
Second.
All right. Member Hageman, with that, I guess we'll have a roll call to approve the minutes.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Barnidge?
Yes.
Member Talley?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
I was absent, but I did read the minutes, so yes.
Member Rushing?
Yes.
Member Riley? Member Guthrie?
Yes.
All right. And so the minutes are approved. With that, we'll get to the operations report.
All right. Let's see. I got it here on text. Okay. So currently, the Lopez Water Treatment Plant is at 4.5 MGD. State water flow is at 0.7 MGD. Downstream releases are at 4.25 MGD. The elevation at the lake is 519.66 feet. That's 95% full, and we're at 46,825 acre feet.
All right. Are there any questions about the operations report?
Move on to the Lopez reservoir storage projections. We've had a lot of questions on these lately at the TAC, so we are making a few revisions. One of the, I'm trying to remember what their last request was. Yeah, we had some rainfall issues with the projections. I think we've talked about it here, finding a source that gives you actual inches of rain that's projected is really hard to do. The site that we do use is only a year out. So if you notice that anything beyond a year is starting to repeat, it's so that we can, it's because we've been asked to make the projection further out than just a year. So you'll see that those numbers start to repeat a little bit. So anybody have any questions on the reservoir projections?
I guess if you can find an accurate projection for rainfall more than a year out, why don't you let us all know?
Right, right. We'll do.
All right. And with that, the July and August monthly operations report.
Yeah, everybody's water uses is tracking pretty normal. Nothing out of the ordinary for July or August. I will say that as of right now, state water requests are very are at zero by most of the agencies, I believe, except for San Miguelito Mutual Water Company. With that said, we are actually working with CCWA at the moment to try to develop a low-flow bypass on the turnout to Lopez Water Treatment Plant. Currently, that turnout is only designed to handle at a minimum of 500 gallons per minute, which is 60 acre feet a month. So right now, our requests are down around about 15 acre feet per month. So technically, we can't turn it down enough. So we're bringing in too much state water at the moment. So we plan to shut the state water line off here in, I believe it's going down end of October and into November for the normal state water shutdown. And then we plan to have it off from that point on to make up for any stored state water that we've brought in due to the, you know, the 60 acre feet per month versus the actual usage of 15 acre feet. So we are working on that. Hopefully we can develop some sort of plan with CCWA to get that, that low flow bypass put in place. So any questions on your guys' water usage right now?
All right. So with that, I think we're going to turn it to the fourth quarter budget status report.
Yeah, sure thing. So that'll be me as well. as we, if you guys have had a chance to look at this, things are tracking okay right now. You'll notice that some of the budget expenditures are very high. That is actually due to some of the FEMA projects that we have going. So we repaired the flip bucket at the spillway, and then we're also repairing, there was a breach at the terminal reservoir on the, I guess that'd be the north side of Orchid Road. That is currently in construction right now by Rob Reynolds Construction, and they're repairing it as we speak. Those were both unbudgeted items on the magnitude of somewhere around, I think, about $150,000 to $200,000 each. So they are FEMA claims that we will be getting reimbursed for, but you are seeing those expenditures expended without any budget to back them up. So that's why you'll notice on some of these items that we're up at 113% or 155% of the budget. So I did talk about this, I think, previously, too, that a lot of our CIP projects that were kind of slow to start have, you know, come to fruition. We did the chemical tank replacements. We did the CO2 injection system. We also did cathodic protection repairs. All of those are pretty much wrapping up. So that's why if you notice the graphs, this is routine operations and maintenance. I should really be showing the capital outlay one. I kept mentioning that these are going to catch up, and they definitely are. And then one other item that I noticed on here when I was reviewing it that's kind of a little out of whack is the carbon dioxide injection system. It shows that it's over budget by, I can't remember, 555% or something like that. And that was due to when they wrote the contract, the bulk CO2 deliveries for the actual chemical were wrapped into the project cost, not routine. Actually, they weren't wrapped into routine operations and maintenance. Those should be part of chemical costs at the water treatment facility, not part of the project. So I'm going to talk to finance and see if we can get those costs shifted over so that everything looks like it's tracking okay. But as of right now, in the fourth quarter, I believe where was the total? In summary, even though we've had some really high budget expenses, unforeseen budget expenses, we're still at 91% of the budget at this point. So, and hopefully FEMA's been doing really well with actually delivering some checks to us finally on some of the Category A projects. We'll see what happens with Category Ds and Es, but yeah, it might take some time, but the money will be coming back. So, any questions on the budget as of right now?
Is our projects are lower categories? They're the D and E projects.
Yeah, and the category had to do with the type of project. You know, Cat A was all like debris removal and stuff that happened like right during the storm event. So you're trying to clear mud and debris and stuff. And then the Cat, I always mess them up. But Cat D or E was like infrastructure repairs and things like that.
This was the January storms.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I think Brad just asked the same question. So can you tell me the FEMA projects? You said it was debris removal from the January storm?
Correct. So originally we had a bunch of mudslides and debris that came down into the terminal reservoir and actually breached the terminal reservoir. So we were getting surface water into the terminal, which is, you know, a violation of our drinking water permit. So that was work that was done shortly after those storms. They came in and cleared all that out. I believe the contractor was RBI. Subsequently, we then hired Rob Reynolds Construction to come in and do additional cleanup of the channel, try to clean up some of the hillsides that slid down. The Cat A work was specifically just to get us back in compliance and get the mud out of the channel. So now we're making it drain correctly, fixing some of the mudslides, and then repairing the breach on the north side. That took time. We needed an encroachment permit through the state because the DWR pipeline runs underneath that section, and we were actually really close to it with where the breach happened. That's being repaired right now. It's looking really good back there. And then the other place was the flip bucket. We ended up pushing a lot of the original shotcrete and rock at the base of the flip bucket down into the creek a little bit. So we brought in cranes and tractors and stuff, and we started picking rock out of the creek and pulling it back up and getting it all cemented back in place. So
what did you call outside water? What outside of the reservoir?
Oh, surface water runoff?
Surface water.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what the perimeter channel around the terminal, that's what it does, right? It prevents surface water from entering that reservoir. So
thank you.
Yep.
And maybe just one more follow-up, Dave. The amount of money then we're hoping or expecting from FEMA was on the order of $300,000, did I hear
you say? I think, if I can recall, I think those are 75% reimbursement, so we still have to cover 25%. And between the two is close to $400,000. So, yeah, okay. I think you're right, about $300K right. coming back.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. Thanks.
Any other budget questions?
All right, I guess we'll move to the HCP update.
So as you guys might have known, I think some of you guys saw it for the first time in the newspaper versus hearing it from your council. I that was probably some of my error in the fact that I did not realize that member at large and probably the ag rep does not have council that would be contacted by county council. So I apologize for that. County council did reach out to all the agencies, attorneys to let them know the status and what was coming. So I apologize for that little misstep. I should have been a little forward thinking on that one. If you do want additional information on how the litigation is happening, please reach out to either me or county council and I can provide that information to you. There's not much I can say at the moment about what's going on. I know some of it's public. I think the, what do they call that document? The, not the damages, but we just talked about it at the TAC. The, what do they call that?
Trends.
Can't remember the term for it, but essentially what they're claiming the problems are, that is public information and it is on the internet right now. You can search out what their damages claim is or what their issues are with how we're operating. So.
Where do we find that?
I can send it out to the group. Okay. There was a website I can point you guys to. So, and then as far as the HCP update, because of the impending litigation or current litigation, we have kind of ceased working on the HCP at the moment. We were making strides. We were working with the regulators. The last correspondence that we had with NMFS was that they wanted us to do a volitional passage study at the main dam to see what our options are to get endangered species up above the dam. So, and I might have brought it up at a previous AC meeting about we are proposing they call it trap and truck or an assisted migration type program, but they want us to do a full blown study to show us all the options of getting fish up and over the dam, so or past the dam. So,
I guess is there a precedent, and I'm probably a little bit out of my league here in terms of discussing steelhead and stuff. As I understand it, I mean, some of the original spawning grounds are now under the lake. Has anybody ever studied whether the fish actually try to go back to that place when it's gone?
It's my understanding from Stillwater conversations that they do. I brought up a point that I said, can we just build Fish Disneyland at the base of the lake and at the base of the dam? And will that
the old
suffice?
Trout farm.
Yeah, exactly right. And they said that doesn't really work. So they do have an inherent nature to want to go as far as up as they possibly can. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yep. So that's all I've got on HCP. If you guys want to know how litigation's going, I can definitely point you to county council to follow up with that.
Has there been a formal briefing that was given by county council to, council for the other agencies? Mm-hmm.
There was. So county council reached out to, I think, multiple staff members for declarations for the litigation. So I know, I believe, Brad, you did one.
Yeah, and there is a meeting scheduled. I believe it's for next Friday that county council and all the agency councils and I think ag representatives as well. You can talk with, is it John? County Council?
Yeah, Ancelo Beher.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we can get his contact to you. I'm sure David can. And then I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think either Vard or I would like to attend that.
Yeah. going to be kind of a status meeting, is my understanding.
Okay. I guess other questions about either HCP or the lawsuit issue. And I guess moving on to our action items, it looks like we don't have any action items.
We're skipping over just the project update.
Right.
Number six. Do you want me to run down that first?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I can take that real quick. So top of the list is the Lopez Terminal Breach Repair. Currently, it's in construction right now. The budget was approximately $120,000. I think we ended up doing a modification. It might be somewhere around $150,000, and that was to do some mitigation work up there. That was being covered through 406 mitigation as a preventative measure. That is actually an armoring of the levee, if you will, or the berm, to prevent rodent burrows and things like that in the berm. The fire flow tank replacement, that one is currently on hold. We were hoping there'd be some extra ARPA money available to move that one along, but it looks like everything's kind of spoken for. We do have pretty much full design specs and plans. So once it's fully budgeted through the normal budget process, we will get that tank built. Membrane modules, those are on hold as well. We just finished up doing two racks, so we just need to build up a little more budget, and then we'll finish off by, you know, finalizing the last two racks, and then we should be good for the next 10 to 15 years before we have to do rack replacements again. The spillway assessment investigation, GEI started work up on the spillway on the 26th. If anybody saw them up there, they were doing ground penetrating radar on the concrete spillway, looking for any voids. They did install a new piezometer up at the, you call that the counterfort section. To look at we're trying to get a better understanding of how water migrates through the dam or does not migrate through the dam. So that piezometer was set, and they are now scheduling concrete core samples in both the chute walls as well as the chute floor. So we hopefully will be doing that in the next couple of weeks. So if you see anybody up there with big equipment drilling holes in the spillway, you'll know what they're doing. The geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study, that is in DSOD's hands right now. It's currently under review. They are suggesting that we do some additional analysis on the terminal reservoir, as the factor of safety was right at the limit. So we'll see how that shapes up. It's still yet to be determined if it needs a seismic retrofit or not. In kind of planning ahead, there are some grants that are opening up here shortly for dam remediation, so we will be filing a notice of intent to move forward with any of that grant, hopefully get in there with some of the grant money. We can use it both at the spillway if there's spillway repairs to be made, as well as if there is a seismic retrofit at the terminal, we can use it there as well. So we will be filing that paperwork as soon as we're allowed to. The cathodic protection repair project, no change on that. The construction is pretty much all complete. The last thing we need to do is there's a transient pipe test station that we need to do where Lopez crosses the state water line. So we have one more test station to put in there, and we're just working with DWR on plans on what that needs to look like. And DAF building repairs, we were just looking for additional quotes, and once we get those, we'll finish replacing the I-beams and stuff in the ceiling of the DAF building. So. As far as completed projects, we've got the sledge bed curtain wall repaired with a French drain to drain out the cutoff wall. The chemical tank finally got replaced, and it's operating very well. No issues there. Spillway flip bucket's been repaired. Looks great. It handled this last season very well. We actually had done that before the rains of this last season, and so the spill, it handled the spill flows very well. Provides us really good access to get up the spillway, so everything's working great there. Bathymetric study has been completed, and the CO2 injection system, it's all complete and functional. But based on water quality with a lake that's super nice and full, we haven't had to use it quite yet. So,
Dave, yeah. The you mentioned grants for the geotech work. Who's that through? state?
It was through the state, yeah.
DSOD?
It was DWR. I don't know if it was a branch, like if it's in DSOD's hands or not, but it was through the state. It was through DWR.
And the money's there, just a matter of...
Yeah, it looked like there was $47 million that they're going to put up for grabs. Okay. So, yeah. Good. So we'll see if we can get our hat in the ring for sure.
Can you give me a refreshment on the CO2 injection system?
Sure. Yeah. So we were using we were noticing back in the day of calcification through our pipelines through the plant, and it was starting to chunks were breaking off and ending up in the membranes and damaging the membrane modules. So they determined that it actually has to do with the pH of the water. So once the pH starts creeping up at the lake, then we start to see all the calcification in the pipelines leading into the plant. We were using mineral acid, but having 5,000 gallons of hydrochloric acid sitting on site wasn't the safest thing. It was almost more of a pilot study. It did work very well to bring the pH down and kept the calcification from happening. But we see it seasonally, usually in the summertime is when we start to see this calcification issue and the pH creeping up. But since the CO2 injection system came into operation, we had very good rains, filled the lake 2 years in a row. So we haven't had to need it yet because those pH issues with the, I think the cooler water hasn't been as much of a problem. So,
okay, thank you.
Any other questions about, I guess, the capital projects?
Where are we at? I think those were them, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No other stuff. Yeah. That's all I got.
All right. And so now we're to the action items, which apparently we don't have any.
Not right now.
Okay. So with that, I guess opening it up to members for discussion of any future agenda items. Doesn't look or sound like we have any ideas for future agenda items. How about committee member comments? Yes?
I guess I'd just make one for a future item, and maybe it's already on your radar, but for the construction work that the advisory committee committed funding for.
Oh, yeah. The fish ladder project.
The fish ladder project.
Yeah.
I think that could be good to get some feedback on that since we've got a little more skin in the game. And and we mentioned at the TAC meeting as well, in light of the litigation, is the fish ladder a good thing or a bad thing? And the consensus is that from the environmental group's perspectives, better data will help us kind of solve that. So sounds like the plan is to move forward with that.
Yeah, and I was going to add it to this, but I hadn't gotten an update yet, and they just did a job walk, I believe it was yesterday. So as a comment on the project, so they did their first job walk yesterday. They started, I believe they got some of the cofferdams in. They're going to start dewatering. They were doing some electrofishing to start moving fish as of yesterday. So they're kind of moving full speed with phase two. Phase two is the actual construction work. Phase one was clearing and grubbing, which they already did. So they've cleared the site for equipment. So they're ready to start moving on it. So, but we did discuss this at the TAC. The AGAG gauge was listed as a fish barrier as part of the interim downstream release schedule. So it has been on our radar as a possible improvement project with the HCP. So, yeah, so we're viewing it as definitely a positive that it's just one more barrier being removed out of the creek. So,
are there other obvious barriers like that that have been identified?
There has. There was, if I recall, I think there's 9 or 11 fish passage barriers that were in the creek, and that was identified back in, 2006, I think it was, when we adopted the IDRIS, but... a couple of those have been the Rodriguez Bridge. I believe that one was already taken care of. If we do the AGAG gauge one, which they're doing now, that's another one that's going to be taken care of. There's a couple of concrete kind of check dams that have been identified down by like Century Lane, west of Century Lane. A couple of S, they call them S riprap dams. I've never seen those. I believe those are kind of in the vicinity of the water treatment facility in AG Creek. I've never actually seen them myself, but the Conservation Corps identified these 9 to 11 barriers several years ago. So hopefully, as we kind of move this thing along, some, maybe more of those will get removed, or maybe that'll be part of the HCP to remove some more of these barriers. So. But it's hard to, I should note that these aren't county barriers, right? We didn't install them. We don't operate them. We don't maintain them. Except for like the AG gauge. But some of these other ones, I believe they're on private property and they've probably been there for decades. So.
Yeah. All right. Other member comments, questions?
When's it going to rain?
I heard it was raining in San Ardo right now. Actually,
no.
So yeah, but my environmentalist said they said they haven't seen enough tarantulas, so they think it's not going to rain as soon as it has in the.
I haven't seen any.
Yeah.
Plus, we're harvesting grapes and peppers. We don't need rain right now.
Right.
Yep. All right. Then with that, I think we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. And so the next meeting will be in Arroyo Grande on November 21st. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Great.